Welcome to the Garfunkel Wild Intellectual Property Podcast. Today, we will be discussing cease and desist letters related to trademark infringement. I'm here with Kevin Donahue, a partner with Garfunkel Wild, and my name is Philip Hammerberg, and I'm the chair of the Intellectual Property Group. So, Kevin, what should a client do when they receive a cease and desist letter? That can be very intimidating.
Thanks, Bill. It can be intimidating, and a lot of times clients come to us and they've received a cease and desist letter, and you know they don't know what to do with it. They frankly see it, they know that they've been operating their company, their business, and the cease and desist letter says that they're using a trademark or that belongs supposedly to some other company that has rights that are superior to theirs, and they don't know what to do. So they have a lot of different options, and they have different, you know, things that they can do in response. But the typical business owner really doesn't know what to do when they get these cease and desist letters.
I guess we should also give a little bit of background regarding trademarks. I know sometimes when I speak with business owners, they don't know the difference between a copyright and a trademark. So when we use the term trademark, we're referring to basically a designator of origin, or put plainly, the name of a business, a logo, or something that's used to identify the business to their potential consumers.
That's correct. And when they get these cease and desist letters, they're basically, there's a party out there that is claiming that they've used their name or the logo or something else to confuse people in the world into using someone else's business as opposed to our client's business, and it's basically telling our client that they have to change their logo or change their name or just continue using it because they think that they're infringing upon this other third party's rights.
So I guess what's the first thing someone should do when they receive that?
So the first thing we tell everyone to do is actually to get legal counsel, to have it reviewed by an attorney. And the reason for that is because there are a lot of ways to respond, and without really fully having an understanding of the situation, but also of the law and the legal underpinnings for these types of demand letters, it can, you know, there are some traps that, you know, the unwary can fall into. But you know, some of the options that people have is you know, include the following. You know, you get the letter, and again, we highly recommend that you get legal counsel involved as early as possible, because they can, someone who's experienced with trademark disputes is going to be able to guide a person or a company, you know, as to how best to respond. And so the initial, you know, thought is that you have, or initial analysis I should say is whether you respond at all, and if you do respond, how do you respond? Doing nothing is a potential way to deal with it. There are, in certain limited instances, times when people and other companies send out these cease and desist letters, and they're only hoping that they can kind of mislead or take advantage of or somehow intimidate, you know, the someone into stopping, you know, using their trademark or their logo, or try to get them to pay money in order to continue using it, to get a license for it or something like that. But those instances are usually few and far in between where you would do nothing. More times than not, you know, the better exercise of judgment is going to be to respond. And there are a few different ways that when you're working with your counsel that you can respond. You can respond substantively, and you can basically, you know, deny the infringement and say that your use of the mark is entirely appropriate, and you can give reasons for that. You can also respond and say that it's unclear what the party's rights are to the mark, and how and why the other party believes that there is infringement. You can essentially ask the other side is, you know, whether or not they have any evidence or what's the factual background and the underpinnings for their claim. And that's, you know, so you can either push back on it or you can ask for additional information. And there's also yet another way that we respond sometimes. Sometimes you approach the party that's sending the cease and desist letter, and you can speak with them about, you know, negotiating with them use for the trademark and a license to use the mark on terms that would be mutually agreeable both to you and to the party claiming that it's, you know, being infringed upon. There are certain instances when you can, you know, you can get a license to use it, or you can buy it. You can work out a transaction or deal where one party or the other agrees that, you know, they'll, for a certain, you know, amount of money or fee or other consideration, they'll no longer use it, or, you know, or they'll use it exclusively, you know, to the other. So those are the typical way. You either respond or you don't. And if you do respond to the letter, you can do it in a few different ways. You know, the other thing too is there are certain instances and again, you wouldn't do this without the advice and the assistance of legal counsel, but where you file your own lawsuit also. You may want to explore the idea of suing the alleged trademark owner and obtaining a declaratory judgment that essentially, you know, tells the whole world that your mark does not infringe upon the other trademark that, you know, of the party that sent you the cease and desist letter. But again, that's not something you probably would do on your own. You definitely would need legal counsel for that. And really for all these, it should be done, you know, with the guidance and help and support of a lawyer.
It sounds pretty good. One additional thing I'd like to add, in some instances related to sort of the settlement options that you mentioned, one additional option may be the idea of a coexistence agreement. To the extent that the parties were able to negotiate a settlement, you may, if the trademarks aren't identical, if the parties are willing, perhaps you can enter into a coexistence agreement wherein both parties would have certain rights to use the mark going forward in their own separate and different ways.
That is true. And as you know, we've done them before that way. And that is another way to kind of, you know, to deal with the situation, because it might be that one party is using it in one area or one realm that really doesn't necessarily overlap or doesn't really infringe upon the other party's use of it in a separate, distinct other area. And you can kind of, you know, reach a resolution where each of the two parties uses it, and they can, hence the name for the agreement, coexist appropriately with the use of the mark. The other thing that comes up often is and, you know, the cease and desist letters with regard to trademark can be very intimidating, and they can be overwhelming to people at times. And they say, you know, is this a lawsuit? Is this something, you know, if I don't answer this, are my rights going to be, harmed? And typically, while there can be a lawsuit along with or in addition to a cease and desist letter, a cease and desist letter with claiming trademark infringement is not in and of itself a lawsuit. It's not a lawsuit at all. In order to be served with a federal lawsuit, you need two documents. You need a summons and you need a complaint. And you would receive those. Those have to be personally served on you or served on some sort of agent for service of process for your company. And you would get a copy of those papers. If you ever get a copy, if any person ever gets a copy, any business gets those should be immediately brought to a lawyer, because in order to answer that summons and complaint in a lawsuit, it's highly advisable to have legal counsel help you with that. Again, a cease and desist letter in and of itself with nothing else is not a lawsuit. It's just a demand to stop using something, or a demand that if you don't address the situation, it can be a precursor. It can be something that comes before the summons and complaint in an actual lawsuit. But if you wind up getting sued, you will receive a summons and complaint. You'll have to get those documents in an action, and it'll have an index number on it. It'll have a caption for the proceeding, and it'll be a more formal legal document that'll, you know, won't be in the form of a letter.
That's an excellent point. Just receiving something, making allegations, can be intimidating. And if you're not used to seeing those types of cease and desist letters or documents, you may misinterpret it and think it's something else. So I think that sort of wraps it up for today. Thank you for being on the podcast, and thank you for sharing this information with the audience.
No problem. Good speaking with you, Phil, and we'll have to do it again. Take care.
Thank you.